A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most cowardly podcast network.
Hi everyone, cool news before we start. We're running another art competition on Twitter and Instagram. We've got 4 copies of the Wardlings campaign setting to be won, as well as 3 yearly subscriptions to Sans Pants Plus, where you can get bonus D&D campaigns and a bunch more great stuff. It's easy to enter. Simply create your best D&D is for Nerds inspired artwork and either post it on Twitter or Instagram with the hashtag D&D Nerds Art or email it to us at sanspantsradio@gmail.com. Entries close September 30 and winners are announced October 9. Good luck!
Once, many years ago, when the sun still shone brightly, there lived a brave and cunning adventurer named Sir Jordan Grace. Having just saved the town of Ampwick from the great and terrible necro-wizard, he decided to celebrate with his good friends and companions. But, unbeknownst to him, something terrible was awakening deep beneath the earth, and his time in Ampwick was far from over. Welcome to episode 2 of Fall from Grace, part 2, The City. Previously. You are here in Ampwick. After a few days ago, you as a group slew the vile necro-wizard, Waiter Norton. You are awoken by screams.
I'd like to roll out of bed and grab my spear in my hand.
There's a lot of rat prints here. It's ruled by a noble aristocrat, Lady Anel, who was appointed by the king. But it still has a council of elders from when it was part of Blue Beach.
I don't know about you guys, but I don't really think we're done here.
How can I help you, Sir Grace? Ah, of course, Grace's companions.
Yeah, that's us. You got a city rat? I don't know if this is something every city has. You got a rat catcher, Lady Anel?
Yes, she approaches you. She is gorgeous. She's like the figure of nobility. You know that she is a distant relative of the king, like a second or third cousin. You can tell that this flesh is the flesh of a long rotting corpse, but it should have also been under the effects of the preserve body spell. They have contracted us to help them build their new headquarters out here. Headquarters West, they call it.
Well, fellas, now that I've told your story, could you do something for me?
So, Grace, you're talking to the builders working on the new gnomish headquarters west.
I'm currently, I guess, on a sort of a bit of a quest, you could call it, from a fine lady.
Would we be helping you on that quest?
In many ways, I would say you were.
Almost as if we were a member of Grace's companions.
You could call yourselves honorary members if you feel like it.
They all look a bit chuffed.
Unfortunately, we don't have any jackets, but consider yourselves honorary members. I'm sort of investigating some strangulations in the area.
The dwarf gets kind of a dark look on his face. Yeah. I'm aware of them.
It's unfortunately not one of those fun adventures with dragons and what have you.
No, there's always a bit of danger though.
There always is.
Took old Paul about a month back.
Who's that?
One of the workmen here.
Paul, did you say his name?
Paul.
Oh, Paul, I say. Not Paul.
No, he wishes he was a Paul. They all look at a mighty man. Almost as big as where? Paul Knotts.
I thought you were going to be like, they all look at a Paul. To be a Paul. if you don't mind me asking, how did he... So strangled, was there
strangulation,
anything...
Strangulation, aye.
Did anybody here see it? Did anybody here find the body?
Old Whippendoodle over there. He gestures to two people, one presumably named Whip, named Doodle.
Can I speak to you fellas?
I would say both of them are halflings.
Okay.
So, look, they got to, look, hey, it's good that they're working.
All right.
The two halflings sit with you.
I'd like to, maybe I'll come in and I'll sit down on like an overturned crate or something. Hey, I'm investigating some of the strangulations in the area. Mm. And I heard that you two found the body of Paul. I just would love to know what state his body was in. I'm just trying to figure everything out at the moment. Figure out what's causing this.
He was very dead when we found him. Yeah, says Doodle. Mm. We definitely found a corpse.
I'd like to just start describing like the body of Gary and the body of Earp to just see if they agree with.
They shake their head. No, his head was very intact when we found him. Yeah, when we found that body, his head was very intact.
Was there red around his mouth at all?
Yes. There was awful red marks. Like he was inflamed or something.
Yeah, sure. Thanks very much, guys. You.
And rats. Lots of rats.
You got much of a rat problem down at the docks? I mean, I guess that's where the rats come in with the boats, wouldn't it?
Not
be?
Rats like that.
Yeah. Well, thanks, gentlemen. Kind of not the question you can ask where you can be like, where are the most rats at the dock? But I'll leave them at the Gnomish Trading Company and I'll just walk along the docks, kind of just investigating the area.
Mm-hmm.
I know it was a month ago, but just to see if there's any, I don't know, not suspicious boats. Maybe I'll go, can I, is there like what would you call it? Like a ledger that'll show me everybody that's come into the docks recently?
Yeah, you can go, there'd be a harbour master.
Yeah.
Speak to the harbour master. Master's like a surly looking half elf. Mm. He's got like a long beard and he looks very overworked.
Hi, I assume I'm interrupting, but could I have a moment of your time?
Yeah, of course.
I'm just looking into the people that have come through recently. If I could have a look at your ledger of incomings and outgoings for the.
Do you have official town council writ?
I don't have town council writ, but I am good friends with the town guard captain.
Are you going to try and leverage your position with Anded?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I'm going to make that a persuasion check.
I'm good friends with Anded, so...
Ooh, bad boy card for me.
Oh, no.
You do not persuade this half-elf.
Come on,
unless
buddy.
You have a writ, you will not see this book.
You're impeding, you're obstructing justice here, buddy, but...
Are we making an intimidation check now?
Maybe I like look out of the little harbor master's whatever room on the docks and I look back at like maybe I can see in the distance the area I would need to go to chat to the council and how long a walk that would be. And I turn back and I'm like, buddy, what's it going to take?
So is this an intimidation check?
Yeah.
He looks at you. He looks up and down. He looks at you in your armor. He looks at the glittering spear on its holster. And he says... Maybe his eyes dart to the door, the one exit, which is behind you. And he says, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go take my break. You can stay here if you want.
Be my guest. Looks like you've been working hard.
He gets up and he leaves.
You're doing the right thing. All right. I'd like to open the ledger and try to find incomings and outgoings and see if there's just, I mean, like, hey, I'm no harbor master, so I'm probably not going to be able to tell much, but to be like, any ships from strange foreign shores come in recently or anything like that?
You roll and you can't find anything unusual.
Okay.
There's a lot of trade from Blue Beach coming down here and then going back. And there's a lot of trade out towards the dwarves. And you notice that there are definitely you can tell a gnomish ship name when you see it.
You
can see that there are maybe a handful of gnomish ships starting from, I would say, maybe a month and a week ago.
Oh, okay.
So like 5 weeks ago.
Yeah, sure.
There would have been like maybe three visitations in total. Not a lot.
Gnomish ship. I like to imagine reading the gnomish ship name like I'm tracing it with my finger and I reach the edge of the page and fold out an extra bit.
No, it goes down around onto the next line. The gnomish script requires you to write in one straight line, but you need to fold it,
curve it like a snake.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, I should probably go meet up with the rest of the gang, see what they have found out.
Okay.
Put both hands down on the table, close the ledger, leave. Maybe. No, yeah, leave.
The half-elf is outside smoking a pipe.
Thanks a bunch.
He nods.
Rightio, I'll head back to the tavern, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
We never really arranged a place to meet. Well, I sent them to go investigate Earp's sister. Do I think they'd be done by now?
It's been a while. It's been a few hours.
Yeah, maybe I'll head back to the tavern. I'll head back to the tavern and consolidate.
All right. You head back to Armorer's Village.
Mm.
You head back to the Axe and Lightning. Axe of Lightning. Ooh, sorry. Don't want to get that name wrong. The bartender gets really mad when you do. The Axe of Lightning. Inside the Axe of Lightning, you see your three companions sitting around a table having a quiet chat.
I'd like to slide in and join them.
What did you find out? Thudu says.
Gosh, a lot. I relay everything I learned. Mm. I specifically to Zin, I'm like, the fine lady Inel, her brother has been one of the victims, and she permitted me to have a look at the body, but look, Zin, I'm not as skilled as you, so maybe I've sort of organized it so that if you go, perhaps I'll accompany you. You'll be welcome to take a look at the body as well, figure out what you can.
Would she permit me to be alone with the body, do you know?
She didn't like the idea of me being alone, but you're welcome to try your luck. She seems reasonable.
Oh, no, I mean, would I be allowed to go without you?
Oh, we didn't really discuss it, but I assume it'd be fine.
Because I think I might have found a lead as well.
Oh, please. Do tell.
Well, not really a lead, but someone who can help us. There's a library around here.
Mm-hmm.
I was aware of it for a while, or I have been aware of it for a while. It's staffed only by a human, a female, a sage by the name of Anen. She specializes in the study of mythology and the gods, but she's a powerful diviner as well.
Okay, fantastic.
So she might be able to help us understand what happened. If we can bring her, the more information or the more personal effects we can bring her, the better.
Yeah, okay. That we can do. Personal effects of, I guess, any of the deceased will probably be useful.
Anything to connect her to the scenes, to the person or to the scene of the event.
Well, Gary, the lame Gary, who is the brother of Lady Inel, he had on him a silver disc with a dragon on it. That's probably a good thing you could, if Lady Inel will let you bring it.
Well, yes, then perhaps we go there first and then to Inel.
Sounds good. Let's take
Inel, sorry.
Yeah. Well, let's take a moment to try and figure out what we think we're dealing with here.
Okay.
I think that's probably worthwhile. Before we get into anything, let's look at the information we have.
Where leans in? What do we know?
We know that we have a series of murders, two varieties as far as I can see, possibly three. Strangulation with some kind of inflammation or poisoning, and a sort of mauling by many animals. Rats found at the scene of all three, as far as I can tell. Began about a month ago.
Thudu, who has a journal that she started after you met her that is very similar to yours, is noting all of this down in her one.
Yeah. So we have murders about a month ago, then what seems like possibly a break, and then the murders have started again.
Oh, no. Zinwilin says, we've asked around. We stopped at a few taverns. She looks at Ware, who burps loudly.
Right.
For work and pleasure, I suppose.
Yeah.
And spoke to some of the locals. There hasn't been a break. It seems if these strangulations, if they are all connected, they've been going on consistently for about a month.
Have they been getting worse?
No, it seems pretty consistent.
Okay, that's
one every few days.
Hmm. And whatever this is, or whoever this is, they've not only been attacking nobility, they've been attacking the gentry and peasant folk alike, I mean. There seems to be no real differentiation.
Some of the bodies were found in very public places.
Yes, that is another great point, Zin. Possibly some kind of, I'd like to flip open my journal, possibly some kind of invisibility involved or some kind of mind-altering sort of magic. I know that the Helga, she somehow didn't see the body until she was right on top of it. She walked around it to go. So
Thudu pipes up. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but this does actually sound a bit like a vampire.
Yeah, you're not wrong, Thudu, which is crazy. Let's not ignore the fact that your prediction coming true is wild.
Zinvalin and Richard Ware, who are not privy to this prediction, look a little perplexed, but just go along with it.
A vampire. And a vampire, I guess, especially with invisibility, could hide here amongst the town for as long as they liked. Perhaps they arrived a month ago on a ship, one of the gnomish ships, and have been just slowly picking away at the people.
The question is, Thudu says, why two people have had their heads basically caved in?
You're right, Thudu. That's very strange. Why them? And why rats? I mean, I guess rats are the sort of creatures of the night of the city, as it were.
Ware shakes his head. Vampires have no control over rats. You have no way to refute that.
I'd like to, maybe with my quill or whatever I write in my journal with, like, chew it like I'm chewing this pen now and be like, I guess.
Ware continues and says, if he were in the city, or she, were in the city, be using bats, surely.
Yeah. Yes. That's another thing. We should chat to the rat catchers in the city, see if they know anything. I'm going to write down a list of possible. It's also worth noting that this could just be some kind of dark wizard. Just saying. I'm going to write down a list.
You all nod.
Vampire. Druid / goblin shaman.
maybe Ware is leaning over you while you write that.
I'm like, druid, and he's leaning over, and I'm like, / goblin shaman. Wizard. And that's all we have so far.
I like how Ware is clearly kept here because he's good in a fight.
Oh, absolutely. But I assume that we'd all die for each other. We're a tight
ride or die buddies.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Let's go, I suppose, do we want to go to Enel first or do we want to go to the library first?
Or the ratters.
Yeah. Let's, yes?
I reckon, Thudu says, I reckon we do Enel before we do the library because we do want that little token.
That's true. Good point. Good point, Thudu. All right, we'll go to Enel. We'll go to Enel.
All right.
As we're walking there, I'd like to be like,
Ware?
Okay, so, hey, cards on the table.
He looks at you the way a dog might look at its owner when it starts talking.
Cards on the table. She's very pretty. And she's very lovely. So,
Oh, Ware says, I know what this is. Ware looks at Zinwilin and Thudu and says, someone's got a crush.
Look, all I'm saying is that if everyone could be on their best behavior, I would appreciate it.
Thudu and Zinwilin both give you wiry smiles, yeah, but they don't say anything. You're sure they will be on their best behavior?
Look, the
even Ware at this point, you think you might be able to trust.
The request is just not for Thudu, Zin. I'm just saying it to everyone to be polite.
All right. So you arrive back at Enel, Lady Enel's compound, and the gates are open. Pretty much the guards know you. Mm. By sight or whatever. So as soon as they see you approaching, they open the gates and Lady Enel is waiting there. Like, she looks like a painting standing in the middle of the archway. There's beautiful two figures of a man and a woman, both with swords crossed, carved as the archway's sort of a centerpiece. And she stands there. Quite clearly, she's just come from the garden because she has a bouquet of different plants.
Be still, my beating heart.
So, Grace, she drops them and runs to you.
I take her in my arms when she arrives. I've brought the wizard, like I said I would. Don't worry, we'll stay well away.
She nods. You, all four of you, head down into the crypts. Mm-hmm. And you, Sir Ware, and Thudu maintain a respectful distance while Zinwilin approaches the corpse and weaves some magic about it. Does she have any magic that can help?
Damn it,
she casts haste upon the corpse. No.
Quicker, corpse.
She doesn't have any, like, magic that can help, but she does know some incantations to understand things.
Yeah, she's just got a better eye for it than I do.
Looking over the body, she produces the same coin that you pulled out, and she says to Lady Enel, "Is this the symbol of your house?" And Enel shakes her head. "No, it's the symbol of a house near us."
Okay.
"Physically. I believe that is stolen." Zinwilen looks at you and says, "We don't need the coin then."
Okay.
"It might be important to the event, but..."
No, totally. Yeah. I'd like to, when she's like, "We don't need the coin," then I'd like to like explain myself to Lady Enel. We thought we'd bring the coin to a...
She shakes her head. "It's okay. I trust okay. you, Sir Knight." Zinwilen puts the coin down, back down next to the corpse. And after inspecting the corpse, she turns around and says, "Yes, it looks very similar to what we found outside of the tavern. I don't know if all of these cases are connected, but these two definitely are."
Okay.
"There's, I don't know, emotion to this," she says.
Sure.
She gestures at a bunch of things on the corpse that you don't think you would have ever noticed.
Cool.
And she says, "There's aggression, anger almost, anger and something else, something beyond anger. But whatever did this, did it maybe almost even out of spite."
Would we?
"And I can," she gestures to the nose, mouth, and ears, or what's left of them.
Yeah.
"I can see red discoloration there, or red inflammation there."
"Would we be permitted," I ask Lady Enel, "to take like a scrap of shirt or something to our seer or our scryer so that she may be able to discern something?"
Zinwilen turns around. "Anything important to him?"
Yeah, maybe it doesn't even have to be even from the body.
She nods. "Yes, I can go get you some."
"Thank you."
Yeah. She comes back with a ring. It
cool.
was his.
It's lovely. Is it lovely?
It is.
Oh, that's good. I'll tell her truth.
It's very genuinely. Yeah, he was semi-nobility.
Yeah.
And his sister did look after her, so it's a nice ring.
Yeah, we'll get this back as soon as we're done with it. Thank you.
No. Thank you.
All right, let's head to that library.
It would be somewhere in the south. It's around Southgate Market.
Okay.
So in Southgate Market, you find the home and personal library of a female sage named Anen. She specializes in, up at the front, there's a big sign probably written in Draconic. It's not even written in Common. So do you even understand it?
I don't think so.
You know Draconic.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know a bunch. Oh, that's Zinwilen. You do not know Draconic.
I was going to say. It's like, that's all right, cool.
That's very fun.
I don't remember picking it up, but sweet.
In Draconic, it says something. And Thudu, maybe, because she's a bit more brash than Zinwilen, reads the sign out loud. "Specializing in mythology and gods. Are you sure she can help us?" Zinwilen nods. "I don't think anyone else can."
Okay. Ding, right. Ding, ding. Walk inside. I assume there's a bell.
Yeah. There's like a heavy scent of incense throughout the entire place. This library has no real sense of organization to it. It's just books stacked upon books, stacked upon books all over the place. It's an absolute mess. Mm. Navigating through it, though, you see an absolute airiest human being you've ever imagined. She has very little flesh to her.
Gosh.
Hello.
Anen?
Yes.
Is she old?
She's ancient.
Okay.
Very, very old.
We were wondering.
Please call me. Oh, wait. Actually, yes. That's fine.
Right. I'm Sir Grace. This is my adventuring party.
Yes. I've heard of you.
In your visions, says Sir Way.
No, she's so funny. Just a suit. In your visions of us?
No, just around down.
I like to shoot where like a look and then, not like an angry look, just like a, what are you saying? We
have come for a vision, as have everyone. Please, come with me.
Maybe then I give Ware another look like, no, you know what? He was on the money.
Ware gives you a smug look. He doesn't understand what happened.
But he knows he's somehow won.
Yeah, he knows he has the upper hand, inherently.
Yeah, well...
a dog will know when it has the upper hand.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like a dog will know when it has the upper hand. All right, you go with Anen into a back room. You can see from the dust on the floor, it is quite obvious that Anen does not get a lot of people curious about buying books. It would appear that most people want a vision.
Yeah, look, that's fair. Then maybe her knowing we wanted a vision didn't come from any kind of preternatural ability. She's just taken a lucky
guess.
Oh,
no, it definitely, yeah. You definitely have come here presumably for a vision.
Yeah, yeah.
You sit down at a circular table. In the center of the table, there's like it's a wooden table. And in the center, there's a bowl, a natural bowl. And in that bowl, there's like brackish brown water with like a green film on top of it. It looks absolutely disgusting. She, when all of you are sitting, reaches into it and pulls out three bones. When she pulls them out, the lights, there are like dim candles all throughout this room. When she pulls them out, all of the candles snuff out and you're bathed in like a low darkness.
Do you need the ring, I say?
Yes. What do you wish to see?
I suppose this person's last moments.
She extends her other hand for the ring.
Am I blind in the dark?
No. It's okay, dark, cool, but cool. There's like heavy curtains, but you can kind of, you're kind of like, getting some light in through them.
I put the ring in her hand and sit back.
She puts the ring and the bones together in her hands, and maybe you wince at like, gotta get that.
Yeah, that ring's gotta come up. The ring. Cool.
She shakes them together and she casts some spell upon all of them. When she finishes, she throws all of it into the air, and with four pop, 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 all of them fall into the water.
Okay.
The moment hangs, and then the candles that went out, the smoke, the faint smoke coming off them, slowly begins pouring into the bowl in the center of the table, and you realize there is more smoke than there has any right to be. The smoke slowly begins to coalesce, and you notice that Anen, the seer, she's like moving her hands in arcane gestures and fashions, and you can see that she's like manipulating the smoke with her hands. Eventually, the smoke begins to form into the figure of a human, and then it begins to take on color and aspects, and then it becomes like a smoky facsimile of presumably
Gary.
Gary, yeah. Gary is skulking out of a building. You see that in his hand he has a small sack, and he presses himself up against the wall, keeping the sack tucked near his chest. Two guards walk past. They come out of like nowhere and materialize as smoke figures. Walk past. One of them says to the other one, "Did you hear that? I'm certain. Look there, that door isn't meant to be open." They walk past him. And then he slowly slides out behind and past them. When he gets out into the street, you can see that it's a bit more public now. He begins to adopt a more like casual pose, and he tries to kind of like mingle in with regular street folk. Then he stops, he jerks, and you see that something, it's like the smoke sort of begins to like wrap around him a little bit. And when that happens, and then hisses like a cat. Hiss! What? No. She swats at the smoke and it all disappears. The final image is Gary reaching up and grabbing at something, some smoky figure before him, as the smoke is like tendrils begins to reach down at his face.
Okay. I assume that didn't go well, I say.
I read what could be seen in the moment, but something did not want to be seen. Some powerful magic, a shroud, not invisibility. I know what invisibility looks like in a divination. No, this is something else. It's not any magic I've ever seen.
Xin Wulin leans in and says, "When you mean it's not magic you've ever seen, what exactly do you mean about that?
Like a spell you don't know, or..."
She shakes her head.
"No, there is divine and arcane magics. This was neither."
I write down new magic in my journal.
I saw it, and through the vision, it struck out at me. I have never known that to happen. The creature, wherever it is definitely very alive and awake, and was aware that I was scrying upon its history. It lashed out at me. The creature It does not use my magic, but it understands arcane magic. Or perhaps it knows many magics.
Well, we thank you for your time.
Be careful. Whatever this creature is, it is powerful.
I'd like to turn back to the crew. We can handle it. All right, we'll leave and find ourselves, I guess, in the street, in the market. So I guess whatever we're up against is a mite more difficult than we sort of first imagined.
Not necessarily, Zinwalin says. It's just a mite that we don't necessarily understand.
That's true.
I wouldn't say that it's too strong. I would say that, well, you heard the seer. It's a magic that she doesn't understand.
There are
many types of magics outside divine and arcane.
All right.
There is the magic of true naming.
Sure.
It is. You're probably
walking somewhere, yeah.
Do you have a specific destination?
Well, we might as well head to the rat. What time is it?
It's pretty like, oh no, it's in the afternoon actually. It's not even sundown yet.
Yeah, well, we'll head to the rat catchers then.
All right. There's the magic of true names to understand something's not like title or birth name, but
the
true name.
Sort of the true nature of it, would you describe it like that?
The true nature of the being, yes. There's a magic about that. There's a very abhorrent type of magic known as magic from the realms. Okay. It is the energy that warlocks tap into. Well, warlocks of specific patrons.
Okay.
A warlock of maybe a patron from the Great Deep, an old one. Sometimes even Fae, a Fae warlock. Mm-hmm. They can tap into this far magic. It is not understand. It's a strange and awful magic, but it is different from arcane. There is psionic magic, magics of the mind.
I'm writing this all down.
Magics that creatures like Illithids practice.
Yeah, okay.
And then there is elemental magic. There's magic of the four elements, earth, fire, air, and water.
What of these magics would you suspect was the cause?
I would not imagine elemental magic. There's no such magic that could do what we saw just now. Psionic magic, potentially.
Yeah.
True naming
seems sort of outside the realm.
I would not rule out true naming. All right. But it is unlikely, yes. But if you know someone, well, it would be a powerful true namer to understand.
Do you think that whoever we were trying to scry would have been able to recognize us through the... This is something I should have asked the old woman.
Seer.
Yeah. Yeah, well, too late now.
It might have.
Yeah.
If it understands arcane magic, perhaps it even knows some arcane spells and can scry us back.
Well, that is a worry, but it would be nice to see whatever this is face to face.
Of course.
Yeah.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Also, hey, D&D is fun, but if you're wishing that you could hear questions that no one ever thought to ask about pop culture you only kind of know, then do I have news for you. Plumbing the Death Star is a show by Zammit, Dusher, and Jackson where they, as my dad calls it, make a living while being a drain on society, like you, Adam. So, if you like the sound of that, Or if you want to know why my dad doesn't believe in entertainment, then head on down to sanspantsradio.com and search for Plumbing the Death Star.
Well, let's...
There are, of course, other types of magic that I do not know. So it could be something
could be
else
anything
more.
For sure.
You head to the South Ratter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a big, like, warehouse-type building. There's South Ratter written in cursive out the front. And the door is slightly ajar. Inside, you can hear swearing. Not like someone angry swearing.
I'd like to give everyone a look like, ooh, and then...
The door opens, and the most flustered human being you have ever seen is standing there. The ratter, first off, smells like rat shit. Second off, he's wearing clothes that are stained in rat shit and blood, partially as well. You can see that he's nursing his arm and hand, which have bite marks all over them.
I just don't know if that's unusual.
Can I help you?
Sir Grace, Knight of the Realm. Yes. Well, we've been investigating some...
Wait, I know you.
Do you?
Yes, your Grace's companions. Sir Richard Ware leans in and says, the light of the king.
He's always preferred that one. It makes us equal, doesn't he? You know?
Well, the light of the king is the one that you got through him because he's very close to the king.
That's true. I love him. That's us, correct. Well, we were wondering if you could help us on our quest.
Well, you can help me, yes.
Okay, that's not what I asked, but go on.
I've got a rat problem.
Right, I think the whole city does.
Thudu laughs like can't contain it.
Thudu, shush. Yes?
There's a great deal of many rats in the basement.
Okay, we can help you with rats. I'd like to turn to them all and be like, rats, guys.
They're like... Rats!
Rats!
Remember rats?
Maybe we push past him in our reverie.
There are cages all over the place filled with many, many rats. They're all screaming. You don't know rats very well, but these rats look simply uncontainable. They are in an absolute fury. Every single one of them is trying... It's darndest to get out of their cages. They're gnawing. They're slamming themselves against the cages. Several of the cages that have not been weighed down. And you can see makeshift weights on several of the cages. Some of the cages that haven't been weighed down are like bang, 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 bang. Like slowly moving across the floor as the rats within them slam against them. You can see this impulse or this... These rats are acting not in self-interest. Several of them are literally killing themselves doing this.
I'd like to turn to the rat catcher.
The rat catcher looks at you like, yeah.
So this is unusual.
Yes. Yes, I would say this is unusual.
I just wanted to check. I don't know rats.
In the basement, several of them have gotten loose. They did this. He holds up his arm or what's left of his mangled arm. His pinky... and ring finger are bent at an odd angle that they should not be bendable at. You can see that his thumb is mostly bone at this point, and there is exposed, like you can see through an artery in his arm, his heartbeat.
You should see a cleric, I say.
Thudu peels off and says, I'll deal with this man.
Oh, well, it's just rats. How hard could it be? We'll head into the basement.
All right.
Before we go there, I'd be like, if we take care of your rat problem, will you help
whatever
us out?
Whatever you want.
Yeah, great. Just wanted to double check.
I'll carry your bags if you want.
Okay, whatever. Cool. We'll head down into the basement.
Without Thudu, you, Zinmalin, and Richard Ware head down into the basement.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Time to fight some rats.
I know.
Oh,
as you as you take a step down into the basement, all three of you look at each other when you hear a yell, let me out, 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 okay. Let me out.
What in the gods is that sound? Do any of us have a light?
Is
it dark in here?
Zinbulin holds up her hand and a orb of light appears in her hand.
Okay.
She casts light.
Can we see anything?
Yeah,
any
you
people?
Can see... like a shadowy set of stairs going down to an open doorway. Let me out, 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 let me out.
If that's a rat, I say to them, I'll shit.
You take another step down, the yelling continues. Zinmalin stops. Ware, who was maybe up the back, bumps into her and she says, wait a minute. Can you hear it? You stop and you listen very intently. Let me out, let me out, let me out, let me out. You realize that the sound is not audible. What you're hearing is a projection into your mind.
Oh no, I would like to whip out Cinder and hold it very tightly. Well, okay, maybe this is more than just rats. Let's proceed with caution.
Thudu appears at the top of the stairs. I have a problem up here.
Yes, I'd like to turn up to Thudu.
The ratter, he attacked me.
Okay.
I killed him.
Okay. I will look. Let's take
Thudu
this.
Thudu is covered in a lot of blood.
Let's take this one step at a time.
You notice specifically there's a lot of blood on Thudu's boots.
I will go up to Thudu. What exactly
Thudu
happened?
Thudu gestures. You look inside. Now the top room, you can see the ratter is lying slumped against the wall with Thudu's axe in his head. There are several open rat cages and rat corpses all about. I tried to kill a bunch of them, but so
yeah.
What happened was he went crazy a little bit.
Right.
I was trying to heal him, and then he started opening rat cages.
Okay.
I asked him to stop, and when I grabbed him, he struck me.
You did the right thing. Don't worry about it. Okay.
Now that you're up the top of the stairs, you would have noticed immediately.
Yeah.
When you get to the top of the stairs, let me out, let me out, let... It just cuts off suddenly.
Okay, so I'd like to look at the corpse and be like, we have a problem of our own, Thudu. Please, I'd like to take Thudu beyond the threshold.
Thudu involuntarily shudders when she goes down like a couple of steps. Is that being said? What's going on?
No, I don't think so. I think it's being projected into our minds, which I can't explain, but it's kind of our duty to head down there and find out exactly what it is.
Xin Wulin, who was inspecting the corpse, stands up. She gestures to the body. I don't know if you want to look at it now or later, but I do have some things immediately I would like to show you.
Please.
You walk over to Xin Wulin, kneel down near the corpse, and she gestures to his face, which is contorted in like a picture of rage,
yeah.
Which is not too unlike what he looked like when he opened the door.
Yeah.
But when she gestures to the face, she also opens his eyes, and you can see like a red ring around his pupil. That is what happens to someone's eyes when they are slain while under the effects of a dominate spell.
Okay, so that either means, and I can't believe I'm saying this, the rats did it, or we are not alone.
Everyone draws their weapons.
Yeah.
Thudu out of the corpse.
If you are here, show yourself.
A tremendous crashing sound is heard downstairs. And then you hear lots and lots and lots of tiny feet moving upstairs. Let me out, 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 let me out.
Oh no.
Bursting out of the lower doorway, rats. Hundreds and hundreds of rats.
Fuck.
Each rat, actually, you know what? We'll leave that to the rounds of combat that we're about to get into.
Oh no.
Because the rats have an interesting feature.
Do they? I am afraid.
A swarm. Not just one, not just 10, not just 20, not even 100, but maybe 1,000.
Jesus.
Rats pour up the stairs and out into the room. Every single one of them screeching into your mind. Let me out, let me out, let me out, let me out, let me out. And let's go to initiative.
Okay. Fuck. Fuck, fuck, fuck.
It's the rat's turn first.
Okay, good.
And,
yeah, yes.
Never mind, we'll come back to that.
What, okay. Oh no.
So, first things first. 1, 2, 3, 4. I need to randomly pick one of you. 2, it's Thudu.
Thudu's got this, she's tough. She's tough as a piece of mutton. That's what we say.
Thudis, from somewhere behind you, Sir Grace, gives a cry of surprise. Not pain, but surprise. Mm. Then the rats swarm at you. When they hit you, you realize that all of them are giving off a faint illumination. And you realize you can see all of their, every single one of these rats has its brain exposed. And the exposed brain is shedding light.
Exposed?
Exposed as in open to the elements.
Okay, and all right.
The rats swarm you and you are bit 1,000 different times.
God damn.
You take...
Just touch their exposed brains, everybody. Whatever.
You take 16 points of damage.
All right. Okay. And it's just rats.
Then it is your turn, Sir Grace.
Okay. I would like to, I guess just... I feel like I gotta do as much damage to an area, but I guess that's not really an option, is it?
In 3.5, yes. In 3.5, a swarm, you had to use an AoE spell, otherwise it actually didn't work.
Gosh.
Swarms in 3.5 were immune to spells that affected only an individual creature attacks.
I will just try to pierce two rats, two of the thousands.
All right.
Or many rats as I can.
You can attack twice. So yeah. You bring your spear down to bear and launch it into the swarm of rats twice. Both times you hear squealing and squeaking. Are you using one hand or two?
I'll use two.
Two?
Yeah.
All right. You deal 11 and then 8 points of damage back as you skewer rats with cinder.
Yeah.
Cinder, when you draw and use it, you can see along its length little red cracks appear. The gaps where heat would issue forth if this weapon were alight.
Yeah.
You're not sure whether or not the name Cinder is
in some way
means something else.
ascribed some meaning to it or accidentally enchanted it.
Either way, the effect is the same. And you deal in total 19 points of damage to the swarm of rats, killing them by the dozen. However, every time you kill a rat, so many more appear. It is Sir Richard Ware's turn. You hear behind you crack, 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 crack of him cracking his knuckles and drawing his greatsword Peace Ruin.
Ah, great. Great. That's just him as a man, Peace Ruin.
He swings once and twice, bellowing in rage, like a fury, like a barbarian-esque type rage.
Like a barbaric yell. Yeah, some might
describe it. Peace Ruin cleaves through them. He deals, that will be 10 points of damage in his first swing, and then 13 points of damage in his second swing.
Cool.
If you would destroy... Oh, wait, they're resistant. You only did half of your damage.
They're resistant to what? Weapons.
Bludgeoning, piercing, and slap. Yeah, they're resistant to your weapons. God.
Fuck.
So you actually only did 9, and he actually only did 11. You both slew off a great deal many rats, but there's just...
There's so many
of them. Ware laughs. He routinely just kind of enjoys his job. You know?
For sure.
It's Xin Wulin's turn. She backs up, swearing loudly, and she will cast. Maybe she casts Cloud of Daggers.
Clever. Yeah, Except they're immune to daggers.
She casts. Wait.
Xin, you fool!
Yeah, she didn't know. Yeah. Actually, wait, she should roll to know. No, unfortunately she doesn't.
That's fair. She's got no clue.
She flicks a silver dagger into the center of the... No, a sliver of glass into the center of the group, reaching into a component pouch. The sliver of glass, as it streaks towards the rats, it splits into two. Then those two split into two. Then those split into... And again, and again, and again. Until, some might say, a cloud of daggers slice through the rats. They scream and screech, but she does not kill a lot of them.
No.
Okay. Zinwalin looks in dismay as she deals a paltry 4 points of damage.
God damn. God damn.
It had no effect, she says. It had zero effect. Thudu, hefting her axe, says, oh, this'll hurt.
It just won't, Thudu. We gotta think outside the box.
Thudu casts also a spell. She casts Bless upon all of you. And you feel the power of her gods enter you. You feel the strength of the dwarven kings, the intellect of the dwarven mages, and you feel the, as drunk as the dwarven heroes.
Why?
Whenever you make an attack roll or a saving throw before the spell ends, you can roll a d4 and add the number rolled to the attack or saving throw. Yeah, so basically you roll a d4 and add it on. So that was Thudu. Oh, was that? Yeah, that was her action. Mm-hmm. So she wades into the fight so that she's on the front line as well, but that's her turn. Then the rats
once again get us.
The rats try to swarm where, but he digs Peace Ruin into the ground in front of him and tears floorboards out of the ground.
That's great.
Making a trench in front of him that the rats pile into instead. Rats attack you, and as they charge you, Peace Ruin barrels past in front, creating a trench in front of you as well.
Much appreciated.
Then it is your turn, Sir Grace.
Okay, I'd like to quickly glance around to see, obviously this is a rat catcher. He has rat killing implements. Does he have any poisons or anything like that?
There's
a big set of rats. Oh, no.
Hello, they say. One of us tells only truth, the other only lies. No, there's a big set of racks, and on which you can see dozens of rat traps.
Okay.
You can also see a table where industrial gnome-grade rat poison boxes lie. There's quite a few of those. Some of the boxes are open, some of the boxes are closed.
I would like to pull out my longbow and fire at one of the boxes.
All right.
Wait, if we inhale rat poison, will we be okay? No, we'll be fine. I remember reading about how rat poison works. Mm. It's got something to do with what rats can't digest.
Oh, yeah. Rat poison,
it like clogs up their blood, basically. Yeah.
Did you know, fun fact, that rat poison works because rats can't throw up?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's the thing. They can't get rid of it. Yeah.
That's why if you give a person rat poison, it can't kill us because we throw it up.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll stab my spear into the ground, whip my bow out, plug one of the rat poisons.
All right. You plug the rat poison, you get a critical hit, which is kind of irrelevant on the crate. But we'll say that the effect is that the crate explodes. It's actually made of pellets. But somehow, with your bow, with the critical hit, I'll say that's what it does. Powders. It turns a bunch of it into powder, and the powder lands upon the rats. The rats do not appreciate that, and they're going to take 3d6 poison damage.
I'll take it.
They take 15 points of damage.
Good. Good, 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 good.
However, you have destroyed I'll say there were two open boxes.
Yeah.
You're not sure how full they are. And one closed sealed box.
Yeah.
You have broken open that sealed box.
Okay.
Rats start. Oh, no, they don't start puking. Rats start collapsing all over the place. And Zinwalin vomits.
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry.
She looks up at you with a bit of drool coming out of her mouth. With not a happy look on her face, but she's
like, I get it.
Yeah, she's like, all right, fine.
I might start saying pull back because there are just so many rats.
All right.
Pull back.
Do you also pull back?
Yeah, I start moving towards the exit of the rat.
Ware gets in a couple, or he tries to hit a couple times before he starts moving back. He only gets one, like his first swing gets into a big mass of rats, and he cuts like 20 rats in half.
Hell yeah.
His second swing, though, the rats have learnt to avoid Peace Ruin, and they dart out in all directions whenever the sword comes near them. His first attack deals 7 points of damage.
Cool. That's all right.
And then he starts pulling back as well. Zinwalin keeps, she needs to make a concentration check.
Ah, that's fine.
Yeah. Zinwalin keeps the cloud of daggers, the glass shards in place, and they keep churning through
the rats. Turning them into a delicious rat slurry.
Of course. Mm. She deals 6 points of damage.
Mm.
And she, well, that's just maintaining that spell. She can cast another one, which she will. What's she going to cast?
What is good against rats?
She hurls an orb of acid at them.
Clever.
When she reaches out with her hand, there's like a just like dripping, drooling acid in it. And gross. She throws that. The acid splashes all about, and it looks like it makes short work of quite a lot of the rats. Well, it doesn't do as well.
well, maybe it doesn't at all.
Look, it's not like it does no damage. One cluster of rats, and they are divided into clusters, takes 8 points of damage.
Okay.
But the other one is unaffected.
Is fine. All right. That's, yeah, okay.
Oh.
Are rats weak against acid?
No, they're not weak against it. But it's not good for them.
That's good.
Rats burn, sizzle, rats collapse of poison, and rat-like chunks made by peace ruin litter the floor.
Gross.
Then that was in Berlin. Oh, and she backs up as well. Thudu. Oh, wait. I forgot to add.
The D4.
Yeah. Oh, well, you didn't need to roll. But so where's second attack would have also hit, but it did not do a lot of damage. But it's a bit more
damage.
We'll
take it. Yeah.
So he does an extra 4 points of damage. And then as Thudu's backing up, she... Are any of you wounded? Yeah, you're wounded. Yeah. So, Grace, you feel a hand upon your back as Thudu channels healing energy into
you. Much appreciated.
You recover 6 hit points.
Cool.
And she backs up as well. It's the rat's turn. The rats...
I know there's like so many powers these rats have yet to use. Mm-hmm. It's the feeling I get. So far they've just used the powers a basic rat has, not a brain rat.
The rats screech into your mind, Sir Grace. It feels like every single rat before you, all at once, tries to overwhelm your mind with a cacophonous din of noise. You, thankfully, with the blessing upon you, you're able to throw off the effects, but you feel like your brain is exhausted.
Oh my god.
Then the other group of rats try to do the same to Sir Richard Ware.
Oh no. His brain is like putty.
The famously hard-minded Richard Ware.
He is stubborn, maybe.
Well, he would have failed if not... Oh, wait. No, he would have failed if also not for the blessing.
Okay.
Thankfully, and that is all the rats do. They seem to be concentrating telepathy onto both of you.
God, what even?
Then right. It is your turn, Sir Grace.
I would like to, can I?
I would say Zinvalin, who is at the back of your formation, is at the door right now.
Cool. Can I get Zin to open it and we barrel outside?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be on her turn, though.
Yeah, that's okay.
What
I'll
do you
wait. On my turn, I'll fire an arrow at another one of the poison boxes.
All right.
Just to kind of thin them out a little bit.
You boom. Strike the poison box and highs or lows?
Highs.
You strike the poison box. However, unfortunately, it looks like the box was definitely not as full as previous. It still scatters a bunch of poison about, though.
Yeah.
But it only deals 1 point of damage.
Ah, well, okay. You can't win them all.
The rats do look like they're beginning to thin out, though.
Okay.
It looks like you have the upper hand. You don't feel like... You feel like this is a fight you could win.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe if I've realized that, I'll be like... Maybe don't fall back. Defend the door. Defend the town.
Ware grips the sword tight and he yells, "For Ampwick!"
You gotta have that classic adventurer loyalty to whatever town you're in. I would die for Ampwick.
Even with the blessing, Ware's first attack does not hit any of the rats. They are very wary of his blows.
Mm.
Wait. No, holy shit, he's really good at fighting. No, he's fine. Oh my god, he kills a lot of rats this day.
Fuck.
He does 6 points of damage on his first swing, and then 5 points of damage on his second swing. So Richard Ware, huffing and puffing, kills the last of these strange rats.
You okay, Dicky?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Dicky, that's a good name.
Yeah. All right. None of us expected that, but we're all okay. No rats got out. I'd like to bend down and pick one up.
All right. So it looks, for all intents and purposes, it looks exactly like a regular rat, except where there should be skin and skull and sinew and others over its domed head, there is instead just like a cutaway, and the brain of the rat is kind of bulging outwards. It looks like the brain is swelled to an unnatural degree. It's literally like sitting like a muffin top on the rat's head.
I'd like to, with it clasped in my hands, be like, Zin, have you ever?
Zin has a close look at it and she says, I have never seen such a creature before.
I'd like to take a brief glance just to make sure that every single rat here is one of these brain rats.
Oh, when you kill the last of these strange brain rats, yeah, all the regular rats in cages calm down.
Hmm.
What are these strange brain rats, and where do they fit into the larger mystery? Find out next time on Fall from Grace, Part 2, The City.
Thanks for listening. If you want to help support this show and all the other shows on the Sanspants Radio Network, just head to sanspantsradio.com and consider joining the Sanspants Plus community. There's over 20 bonus shows, a Sanspants Plus Discord, exclusive video content, and discounts on merch. Just head to sanspantsradio.com and follow the links.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey there, fellow adventurer. If you're picking up what we're putting down and want more D&D content, we have just what you need to scratch that itch. D&D is for Nerds Plus, the symbol, not the word, where you can listen to select campaigns that were once only available to Sanspants Plus members. The further adventures of the Grey Hill Free Company if you want shorter campaigns with beautiful guests, and D&D is for Nerds, not Ognot, where all our non-canon D&D adventures go to rest. Just search for D&D is for Nerds on your favorite podcast app of choice and join us on this epic quest of D&D podcast discovery.